the question we're asking today is a deeper framework. It's a deeper question. This was not what would happen if you were to be out of the picture for 90 days. What would happen if you were to be out of the picture completely?
Hello and welcome to the Remarkable CEO Podcast, a show dedicated to chiropractors who want to transform their job into a business so that they can have a remarkable practice as part of a remarkable life, not instead of one. With your hosts, Dr. Pete Camiolo and Dr. Stephen Franson.
Welcome back to another episode of the Remarkable CEO Podcast. I'm Dr. Pete Camiolo.
And I'm Dr. Stephen Franson.
And it is truly an honor for us to be with you today. So thank you for tuning in. Dr. Stephen, it is great to be together with you in the studio. I have a new level of gratitude for the gift of my life, for the gift of family and friends and coworkers and our great profession and the great work that we get to do. And Dr. Stephen, I just, you know, as we begin this, we're going to do a series. This is going to be part one of two of a series where we're going to talk about succession. And this is coming directly on the heels of an experience that we have been walking in, and we are presently navigating with one of the clients who we've been able to work with. And this is going to be a very real and raw and honest conversation, but it also hopefully will be a bit of a wake-up call for you as it has been for me and for us. So I'll give you a little background here as we begin this episode to share a short story. We have had the privilege and honor to work with one of our doctors, a remarkable CEO client, TRP client. He and his team have been a part of our organization for a few years. And we received the unfortunate news that he had passed away unexpectedly a few weeks ago. And it came as a shock to his wife, to his team, and to his patient base and to our entire community. He was a dearly loved man and someone who I had the distinct privilege and honor to partner with and come alongside and serve as his coach over these past few years. I shared many a mastermind with him. I shared many a conversation with him in our immersion events. I've been able to have dinner with him and lunch with him, work out with him. Was actually just with him less than 2 weeks before his passing unexpectedly. And what his passing has done for me is it's really hit me very deep inside. And it's hit me on an emotional level in a place where I've recognized that the work that we do with the doctors we get to work with, specifically in the SCALE program, where we specifically address turning a job into a business, and we do that very systematically and very intentionally with a high level of discipline and order and structure and seriousness, because we understand the gravity, but yet it's been taken to a new level, Dr. Stephen. Because what we've been faced with over these last few weeks is there has been exposed the lack of, let's call it, readiness and preparedness for an exit, an abrupt and sudden exit at this magnitude. And we as an organization have brought the full weight of what we can do to serve and support. And we are in the midst of that intervention at this time. However, we are also in the midst of facing the brutal facts and the reality of what happens when things aren't all there that need to be there. And we have recognized that it would be unfortunate if we didn't, from our experience and learning through this, not share with you directly what we are learning and what you need to know now moving forward, so that this doesn't, something like this, if it ever were to happen to you, that you're prepared for that. And we are going to take this episode and the next episode to talk about what it means to have your practice ready and then to get yourself ready. We're going to get your business house in order, and then we're going to get your personal house in order. And Dr. Steven, I'll throw this over to you, but I know that we have presented the framework of what would happen if you were to take 90 days and be away from your practice. That is a framework that we have had, and it's a really important framework to have. But the question we're asking today is a deeper framework. It's a deeper question. This is not what would happen if you were to be out of the picture for 90 days. What would happen if you were to be out of the picture completely? And that's where we're starting today, this episode, as well as our next episode. And so we believe this is in a way that we can honor the life and the legacy of a man who was a student of the work that we've done and a servant leader making huge impact in the community that he served and the people that he served so faithfully over his more than three decades as a chiropractor. Dr. Steven, this is going to be an important series that we're doing here today. And so it's an honor for me to stand here with you to share this with our awesome audience.
What a beautiful introduction to what is a very somber and sobering conversation, Dr. Pete. You know, it's always a privilege to have a platform like this and have listeners and have, as D.D. Palmer says, appreciate the opportunity to be useful in a coaching position and doing masterminds all week immediately following this doctor's passing, being able to come alongside their family, his spouse, their team at a time such as this. We feel the weight of not just the opportunity, but the responsibility that we have in this space. So this, you know, the decision to move forward with this subject matter, as much as it is a sombering conversation, it's meant to be a sobering conversation, right? As we're all inebriated with the tyranny of busyness in our lives, as most of us can feel like just wildly unprepared for a situation like this. Like, how could you prepare for such a terrible situation? And our intention here is not to take something that's terrible and make it not terrible, but we want to make it less terrible, right? So as we're walking through this with his family and his team in the, you know, their home and their practice, it's very clear that there's a process that can be followed in a proactive way that would lessen the blow, you know, and the reverberations that continue. So that's really our intention here today. We're not attorneys, you know, so this is for education and really direction and, you know, purposes only. But I think it's just such an important conversation that we have and a great way to honor this doctor who, in his passing, that the timing, you know, is obviously terrible. But the blessing is that he was in process, right? So this is an oak tree conversation as always, right? The exit conversation is always an oak tree conversation. And that means, when's the best time to plant an oak tree? Of course, is 50 years ago. When's the next best time is today. But I just want to make sure that people feel what we're talking about here today from the sense of this isn't a one-day thing or a someday thing, right? So this isn't the work that you put in now will one day pay off. Okay. That one day you'll be happy or your family will be happy. You did this work like one day. This is a Monday thing. Okay. So at the end of the day, everything that we're describing is building it to sell it. In other words, all of the instructions around how to prepare a business and increase the business's readiness for your exit, whether it's a planned exit or a tragic exit, the preparation is the same. Okay. So no one in the history of business has ever regretted building a business to sell it, even if you don't sell it for 30 years, 50 years, or 100 years, right? So building a business to sell it is a cultural thing, right? It implies there's a lens through which there's an operational construct that you adopt, right? So, and we're going to talk about that operational construct today and using this tragic situation and trying to make something beautiful out of it. Okay. So to recognize that, you know, we want to look back and assess and learn from, you know, what this past several weeks have been. And trust me, this is not the first time we've had these difficult conversations with spouses. And trust me, It's never a conversation that you want to be having or have your spouse having with us or somebody like us. All right. So I'm just speaking. I'm trying to hit you right between the eyes right now. The reality is that what we can learn from all of that emotion and all the stress and strain of what we've been through here recently and with other businesses in the past, with other clients and friends, comrades in the battle, you know, so we've been through this many times. In fact, the irony of it, Dr. Pete, was you and I were on the stage at TCR speaking about this exact subject the weekend that this tragedy happened, right? So we were literally in front of the crowd of people telling them, please do not tune out. Please do not check out right now when you're thinking, oh, it's going to be so long before I'm out of the picture. I'm not going to exit for so long, right? So everybody thinks that way, okay? But at the end of the day, this is something that you need to do now, okay? So you need to be thinking about this now. If there's an urgency to it, it's something that you have to start immediately. You don't have to finish immediately, but you do need to start immediately. And it's not a one-day payoff where you're like glad you did it one day. It's literally Monday, because it's going to change your experience of owning a business and running a practice, right? It will make your business more productive. It'll make your business more profitable. It'll make your business and your practice more fulfilling, right? And it's definitely more fun to own a business that you've built to sell. So Dr. Pete, I want to just, you know, couch this entire conversation through the lens of the remarkable business. So when you think about the three attributes that make up a remarkable business, it's that Venn diagram that we just were covering at the team building immersion. There's three circles. One of those circles is leveraged operations. The second circle is bankable profits. And the third circle is transferable value, right? So this is what it means to build it to sell it. So that whether you choose to sell your business or you're in a position where you're forced to sell your business, you want to make sure that this is the model that you are moving towards, or you're using this as the lens through which to audit and assess your business. It's the vision you should have for your business to optimize everything that we're describing. So first is leveraged operations. You know, we've talked about the accountability grid in the past before, asking, you know, looking across the five domains of your practice and doing a deeper dive through the 15 primary functions of the business. Everybody knows the accountability grid at this point. It's our favorite reference tool. And we have audited those operations in the past using this accountability grid, but we've had a fun conversation. Like you said, it's like, well, what happens if you took a 90-day vacation? What happens if you went on a Caribbean cruise for 90 days? What would happen to the business? Would the business continue to go and grow, right? Have you created leverage, right? Do you have leveraged lead generation with your marketing? Or if you took 90 days off, would things stop? Okay, would the lead generation stop or suffer? Or how about leverage sales in your conversion process? If you took 90 days off, did conversion stop? Or in the delivery process, what happens to patient care and retention, right? If you were to take 90 days off, right? So, or have you created leverage with multiple providers so that the business continues to go and grow without you? Or how about with team building, right? Which is, could you surround yourself with a team of A players? Could you do the hiring process, the onboarding process, the training, equipping, the firing process, like all of this offboarding, like all of these elements? Is there somebody else that's running that piece that's accountable to team building? Or does it stop when you're away? And then how about financial, the economics of your business, from your payment plans to your banking and cash flow to your accounting, bookkeeping, P&L? What happens when you're away from the practice? What if you were out of the picture for 90 days on vacation? That's the conversation we've had before, which is are you leveraged? Do you have leveraged operations, right? So today, the conversation is not quite as fun, right? So to have that same question now and ask yourself, what happens if you're totally out of the picture, is it cuts deeper, right? It just cuts deeper. And it requires a bigger commitment to durability. So when we talk about the remarkable practice as having scalability, durability, and transferability, the difference between scalability and durability is highlighted here in an acute way. Right? The difference between scalability and durability cannot be missed in this conversation. Most of you have probably figured out scalability, right? So being able to give more, love more, serve more, make a bigger impact and a bigger income, but it doesn't have to all be done by you, right? So you're leveraging other people and systems and technology and communications, and that's great. It's awesome, right? The next level is durability, being able to give more, love more, serve more, make a bigger impact and a bigger income, even in your absence, to be able to create value, deliver value, and capture value in your absence, whether it's a 90-day vacation or the scenario that this family is dealing with today. So Dr. Pete, I think taking a fresh look at the accountability grid with a higher standard around leveraged operations is wildly appropriate.
Doc, hundreds of our coaching clients have grown their businesses following our Remarkable CEO program. Well, now it's your turn. We are kicking off a new cohort of Remarkable CEOs this month. Enrollment's limited, so don't delay. If you're ready to turn your job into a business, make a bigger impact and a bigger income, the Remarkable CEO program is what you've been looking for. Go to theremarkablepractice.com/REM CEO to apply today.
So this conversation is, you know, speaking to a CEO, and we've all been through this before where, and this is the framework I want us to think about this, because we have it backwards. And here's what I mean. I've spoken to enough CEOs over the years that, you know, they've lost a key player in their team. Like maybe you lost your office manager or a COO. Maybe you lost a tech CA. Maybe it was an associate or all your associates. And you went from having associates and this team down to it was just you. And you've built your business around the fact that if everyone was to go away, you could still keep the business going. And so what you've essentially done is you've built a business that is dependent upon you. And you've had that happen. As you're listening to me right now, some of you are, you know, you've lost a person where you had, let's say it was an associate as an example, who was maybe carrying some of the weight of the adjustment load on the weekly adjustments. Maybe you had an associate who actually was in the office who enabled you to take that week vacation. It was wonderful. And then you had, then you went through losing that person. And then you were faced with the brutal facts of, okay, I'm going to cover it. And most of us, Dr. Steven, the way we're hardwired is like, okay, I got this.
Put it on my back.
Whatever I have to do. It started with me by myself. So if I'm back by myself, I've been there, done that, I'm going to do it. The problem is that's our default. Our default has, if everything went away, at least I'm still here. So everything by default is actually still built around an anchor to, if hits the fan and everything and everyone went away, at the end of the day, I'm still going to show up on Monday and I'll make it happen. I'll figure it out. I don't know how to use our EHR. I don't know how to take the x-ray. I don't know, but I'll figure it out. Like that has been, and that's the attitude of most of you who are listening. You would literally say, if everything hit the fan, everybody abandoned me, I would still show up and make it happen. We'll figure it out and we'll rebuild. And that's awesome. That's great. And I know you would, and you probably will and have, but that's not the framework we're presenting here today. What we're actually presenting is the exact opposite framework. We're saying you cannot do that. You cannot go in and rescue it. You cannot go in and fix it. You cannot go in and you will not be able to do that. So what would happen? That's the framework. It's sobering. It's a sobering question, because if you weren't there, what would happen? If everything was abandoned, the people abandoned you, like if you lost your team, you lost all that, you would go in and pick it up. But what if you couldn't? What if you weren't there? Dr. Steven, we talked about how chiropractors in today's day, and the numbers are that of the 100% of practices that actually try to exit, not even a tragic exit, what you might call a planned exit, I think it's north of 80% don't exit. That actual business, I'm going to use the word, dies with that exit. That practice disappears. It just disintegrates, or however you want to describe where all the people go that were there.
Practice retires with the doctor.
Retires. What? Over 80% of the time. That's with a plan. So that tells us that we do not have our house. The business house is not in order. And Dr. Steven, that's the reality. And you talked about how this is an oak tree conversation because this doctor was in the process. So it wasn't, it's not, there's a process. There was a lot of the pieces in place. Okay. Which is a good thing, a positive. However, I had just revisited the 3-year and 1-year vision story. And I can tell you clearly that this was not in the story. This was not part of the story. And I know exactly what our targets were this year. And I know exactly what our targets were in 3 years. This wasn't it. And so it's not that that is your target. It's not part necessarily of your vision story, but like you said, Dr. Steven, you have to have in the story, if then, and this is that if this, then that, and we have to be ready for this because if your team exited and everybody, you then would what? Show up and just take it. But what if you exited? Then what? That's what we're talking about.
Sarah, if we look at that ascension that we've described so many times, it's like, it's the, you know, climbing the mountain, right? Going from being an owner operator and making the ascension, making the climb to CEO, and eventually making the climb from working in the business to on the business as a CEO, but going from working on the business to working above the business, the next iteration, right? The next ascension is to become, take on the role of the investor, right? So where you're over the top of the business and the product goes from selling chiropractic care to selling the business, right? That's a totally different perspective. So that's the third step in the ascension. This is not this conversation, right? So like Dr. Pete said, it's like, if you've made the climb from owner operator to CEO and you lose your team, let's say you lose key players, associate doctors, whatever, what happens is you get dragged back down the mountain, right? You get dragged back down into the old role of owner operator, which is a different problem, right? So it's a different problem, but it's a much better scenario than what we're describing. What we're talking about right now is you being plucked off the mountain, right? Like you're no longer on the infographic, right? So you're not part of this equation. So, you know, as morbid as that sounds, we believe in brutal facts conversations here. That's our love language because that's where we get to truth the fastest. We turn the bright lights on the dance floor. Let's get to truth very quickly. Okay. So at the end of the day, what I know to be true is when we talked about the accountability grid, we asked two questions. Is it optimized and who owns it? When we go through the 15 primary functions of your business, the objective there is to get to the truth, right? Like right now, the reality of the business, let's audit your business on a scale of 0 to 10. Is it optimized? 9s and 10s say, hey, we're going to hit our goals if we keep performing at the level we are currently. And guess what? You know, that's the truth. Okay. So what if an 8 is like, maybe if it all comes together here at the very end of the quarter, we'll probably there's a good chance we get 7 is we're not going to hit our goals. 5 is worse than 7. 3 is worse than 5. 1 is worse than 3. Everybody gets that, right? So that is a very healthy and incredibly productive exercise and conversation. We're going deeper than that, guys. What we're asking you is, well, what happens to those scores when we pull you out of the picture entirely? Mm-hmm. Which of your 8s, 9s, and 10s drops down to 5s, 6s, and 7s? Or down to 2s, 3s, and 4s? That's the question we're asking you right now. If you're out of the picture, what happens? That's revealing true durability. Do you actually have durability in the primary functions of the business? And I'll tell you what, this conversation turns the lights on as bright as they can get, right? Because there are options. Like, so at the end of the day, you might be saying to yourself, well, Franson, if anything would happen to me, we would just sell the practice. I'm like, okay, awesome. Great. Let's have that conversation. Okay. So what are your options? Your options are you could sell the practice as quickly as possible, right? That's called an emergency exit. Or you could say, actually, we've been in the throes of turning this pirate ship into a battleship. We actually took our job and turned it into a business. This is terrible, but it's not the end, right? We're going to continue to serve our patients, serve our mission and our vision, and we're going to work really hard to replace some key roles, not people, but key roles, and making sure that whatever the person that we've lost did in this business, we need to bring in the right people and get them in the right seat, doing the right work the right way. But we continue to march on and serve this mission and this purpose indefinitely. Or it's like, oh my gosh, we need to sell this thing. I want to sell it. It's on my heart to sell it. And fortunately, we've been in this process, and we're going to spend the next year, 2-3 years to make sure that this is a business that people will compete to buy, right? I'm going to go through this process of, now we've operationalized this business, let's professionalize this business, and let's create a business that people will literally compete to buy, you know. Or fourth option, which is, let's just shutter it. Let's just call it a day and shutter down. See, Dr. Pete, the challenge is like, regardless of your choices, choice 1, 2, or 3, of course, we want to avoid choice number 4, right? So, but choice 1, 2, or 3, I want to sell it immediately, fire sale, or I want to turn it, you know, spend 2-3 years turning it into a business that people will compete to buy. That's the definition of transferable value. That's establishing transferable value. Somebody will come in to buy that business, and smart money is going to come in and look around, and they're going to say, do you have leveraged operations? Talk to me about your bankable profits, and do I see transferable value? That's this lens. You have to see the power in this, you know, because even if you say, if we lost the key player, we'd sell it immediately. Sell what? What are you selling? That's the tough conversation, guys. That's what we're trying to have with you right now, is sell what? And it might be awesome. And I hope and pray that that's true for you. But the chances of that being the truth is incredibly low. The percentages of practices that are actually a business that people would compete to buy if the key player was taken out of the picture, it's incredibly low. Okay. But that's the purpose of this conversation, is to answer these questions. Okay. So, and I'm going to post my favorite 2 questions here, Dr. Pete, to help us to get to the truth as fast as possible. Okay. So this is turning the lights bright. Okay. So let me ask you a question, Doc, as you're listening to this. Let's take you out of the picture. Let's imagine that your spouse is making that call. And imagine that I jumped on an airplane and said, I'm going to buy that business. I'm going to consider buying that business. Okay. I fly out and I buy that business. I live in New Hampshire. So wherever you are in the world, I'm not moving to your town, I promise. Okay. So I'm not looking to buy a job. I'm looking to buy a business. Okay. So I don't buy jobs. I buy businesses. If I were to walk into your business and do due diligence, and I bought your business, what's the first thing I would change? What are the first 1, 2, or 3 changes I would make to your business? Now, you know me, you know, Dr. Pete, if one of the two of us were to buy your business, and we're not looking to move in and have a new job, right? So if we were to buy your business, what are the first changes that we would make? Change number 1, change number 2, change number 3. What would we change right away?
Sit with that question. And do your very best to answer that question. And you can put Dr. Stevens' face in my face in your mind's eye when you think about answering that question, because you know us. If you've listened to us, you have an awareness of who we would be if we were the ones that got on the plane and flew out. What would be the first thing that we would change? What's the second? And what's the third? It's a real question. It's not a theoretical question, it's an actual question. And we want you to actually take some time and write it down. You may have a list of more than 3. I would document those things right now. Right now. That's only the first question. But that's, you have to respond to that first question first. And then we'll get to the second question, Dr. Steven.
Yeah, it's a great exercise. It's a great thought exercise. It's a great journaling exercise. The accountability grid is a great tool to help unearth just the brutal facts around, you know, where do you have leveraged operations and where do you not? Where do you have exposure? Because that's what this is. We're asking you, where is the exposure? Where are the constraints of your business that translate to exposure if you're out of the picture? All right. So that's the first question. What's the first thing I would change if I bought your business? Here's the second question. Why haven't you done that already?
Cairo Matchmakers will help you find the right person for the job. If you're looking to hire the ideal chiropractic assistant, Cairo Matchmakers will help you find the specific person missing from your team so that you can get back to using your talents to serve more people. Or if you're looking to hire the ideal associate doctor, CMM can help. Cairo Matchmakers helps chiropractors like you find the ideal associate doctor to unlock your practice potential and get you the freedom that you desire. To learn more, go to chiromatchmakers.com.
Please stick around for more business insights from this week's bonus interview with our remarkable success partner, dedicated to helping you more successfully help more people. Enjoy.
What's up, Remarkables? This is Dr. Sebastian Bonin, Coach Dr. Sebastian Bonin from The Remarkable Practice. And I'm here today with Billy Sticker from Cairo Candy. He's one of our success partners from The Remarkable Practice. What we mean is that this is one of the companies that we recommend. Our clients have usually issues that we cannot solve, and that's why we need to outsource the solution. That's where success partners come into play, where I know there's a lot of options, but we definitely pick who we want to work with because we share common values, core values, and also a common vision story. So Billy Sticker with Cairo Candy is one of our success partners. He's been with us for a few years now, right, Billy? More than 2 years?
I think three years now. Yeah.
So quick. And that's a lot. That's a lot. That's a lot to say. It says a lot about you, about what you have been able to help us as a profession on the digital space, which is an ever-changing space. And I was just really curious. More than excited, I was just curious to interview you, introduce you to our community, to the doctors that don't know you yet or have not worked with you yet, maybe have heard of you, or maybe they just don't know you. So I just wanted to make this very authentic, very, very cool, and very valuable. Who's Billy, and you know, how long you've been just dealing with us Kairos? And, you know, why you, brother? Come on.
Yeah. Dude. So, no, I love it. Thank you for having me. We really love working with the TRP doctors. And I just love what you guys stand for. And, that, you know, you're teaching offices how to not just be a chiropractor, but how to be a business owner and how to actually build a business and not a glorified job. And so you guys are definitely some of our favorite clients to work with. But if you go back into 2007 and 2008, I went to work for a chiropractor. We had multiple offices and I was the marketer. Now this was really before Facebook. You know, MySpace was out there a little bit, but I was the one doing the health talks out in the community. I would do all the screenings. Then I started doing our day ones and I started doing our day twos. I would close the patients on care plans. And the only thing I didn't do was adjust. I didn't adjust any patients. However, both of our offices used the Pro Adjuster. So I probably could have, you know, but I fell in love with the profession. Yes. It just really lines up with who I am, and not to be super spiritual, but who I am as a believer that God created our bodies to heal. And so that was just so congruent, you know, in the chiropractic profession and my faith. I was like, man, I love this. And we doubled the volume in both offices, and I just really fell in love with chiropractic in general. And so we ended up launching Cairo Candy. And at first, it was just a podcast a marketing podcast for chiropractors. And we also would help chiropractors write books and things like this. And then one of our clients asked us if we could do Facebook ads. And I was like, yeah, of course. I didn't know. I mean, I'd done a couple of Facebook ads, but never for a doctor. So the first month, I didn't charge him anything. We started running ads. And so let's just try it out. And he had 60 leads come in. And I think 30 ended up coming into the office, and it was extremely profitable for him. And he started referring people. And now it's like, we are the, there's not another marketing company out there that's been doing social media marketing for chiropractors longer than us. We've, you know, a multiple, well, we do multiple seven figures a year, but we're a, you know, Inc. 5,000 company, like all that stuff. But really, here's like, that's a little bit of the backstory. And, you know, I drank the Kool-Aid. I firmly believe in chiropractic, but one of the things that we see happening in the profession, we get it. Like, I know you need new patients and you need them now. Like, you want them now. But what we hear so often is, hey, we're doing Facebook ads, but the lead quality is very poor. You know, they're just not very good leads, or they're not showing up, or whatever. And that's typically because people are saying yes to the offer. They're not saying yes to the doctor. And even those listening, you know, I'm actually speaking at a big event this weekend, and there's going to be several hundred people there. And one of the questions I always ask is, how many of you have been in, you know, been in practice over 5, 10, 15, 20 years? I want to feel for the room. But once I get to that 20 years, I'm like, how many of you that have been in practice 20 years or more still have new patients show up and say that they didn't even know you were there?
Right.
And it's all the time. It's all the time. And which goes to my point is that so many people, so many chiropractors, they're just not known in their market. And we want to make chiropractors known. You could be the very best at what you do, but if nobody knows who you are, what you do, how you do it, why you do it, it doesn't matter. They're going to go to the best known before they go to the best, because that's who's known. So we want to make chiropractors known, and we have a very, very specific way that we go about building your authority in your market to generate high quality patients, to really make you the celebrity in your town. So that's our goal. That's our approach. That's different than most companies.
That's really cool. The lead generation, it's more of a symptom of the main purpose, which is to brand this doctor as the authority. And of
course, way to look at it. Yeah.
So many books that have been written about, dude, you gotta set yourself as the authority. One strategy is write a book. Okay. So that gives you some authority status, you know, in that theme. But, you know, few of us, I just finished writing a book actually, but dude, I'm telling you, it took a lot. And even though, you know, ghostwriters and everything, still, it's still a lot of work, especially I'm not wired to be sitting down in front of a computer. So even more so, so anything that you can do to set yourself up as an authority and create your own brand within your community will actually make it easier than when you start playing on the digital space, correct?
Yeah, so, absolutely.
So that's absolutely that's the goal. I personally didn't know that, Billy. So that's really cool. I knew your story, the backstory. Didn't know that it was so early on that you started working and doing all this. So here's the thing, man. I've been working with this with a company. I'm happy with that company. It's not that I'm unhappy. I'm happy. I just don't know how. I feel that it has become a lot of it has been cookie cutter. That
right.
I've been already three times telling them what to do and not to do. And guys, you can't be doing this. You know, you can't be putting me at the same header as these other ones because they think I'm the same and we provide a very different service. So how do you stay updated, up to date, relevant, current You know what I'm saying? With this, it's so changing, man. This digital space just changes, I mean, almost by the week. One of my best friends, he works in Meta. And he's like, bro, some changes are coming. And I'm like, oh, dude, that, didn't you guys just
It's always.
It? Yeah. Yeah. Didn't you just change it? Like, are you kidding me? So what do you do, Billy, specifically to just stay relevant, to be just on top of your game and really providing, you know, the best services for our ducks?
So one is our team is phenomenal. You know, we don't have, none of our team is overseas. Not that there's anything wrong with, you know, companies that have VAs in the Philippines or Colombia that may be building out your ads, which is very, very common because the cost of labor is so much lower there. We don't do that. All of our team, they're actually all here in Texas. They work remote, but they are still all here in Texas, and they're phenomenal. Like anyone, if you were my cousin and this was your practice and you came to me and you're like, hey, you know, I want you to do our ads, give me your best rep. Like any of our reps, they're phenomenal. But part of that is the way that we kind of set everything up. We have, there's always multiple people looking at your account to make sure that it's working well. But one of the things that we do on the back end is, one, we really pay attention to the changes that Facebook is making, and even TikTok. We do a lot of stuff on TikTok and things like that too, but still they haven't caught up with Facebook and Instagram when it comes to the targeting. So we have teams that like they're paying attention to what's going on and changes specifically inside of that. But what we do also is, all of our account reps are required to meet with two different directors we have once a week. And they're looking at two things. One, they're looking at which campaigns are working really, really well, and then which campaigns are struggling. And sometimes we can do the same campaign in 10 different places and get 10 different results, you know? Yeah. So sometimes it's the campaign and sometimes it's the area, and we're just always looking at that. But a lot of times we can start to see, hey, it seems that Meta is really favoring whenever we do these kinds of ads right now. Right. And then so we get to share that across, you know, 300 offices or so. They all get to benefit from that. So it's we're always trying new things. We're always testing. Our team, one of the things we say a lot is mission over method. Like that should be on t-shirts that we wear in our company, is we give our reps permission to test things because it's mission over method. Right. Like they know our mission is to generate the highest quality new patients we can for these doctors. That's the mission. Our method, that can change.
Right.
We can test things. Like if you have an idea, let's test it, see how it works, because it's all about the mission over method. But what we've found over the past probably 5 or 6 years that really works so well is having doctors do specific types of videos once a week. If we can get these videos out there once a week, we can start telling Facebook and Instagram, hey, if they watch a certain percentage of these videos, put them in a new audience. And so it builds this warm audience of people who every time they turn around, they see another video of you talking about cervical issues and headaches or, you know, proper sleep position or whatever it may be. You know, if you think about your favorite patient, whenever you see they're on the books that day, you get excited. Well, that patient is typically extremely compliant. They get it, right? They know why they're coming. They refer people, but they're educated. Well, normally that education starts on your day one and day two.
Right.
What if you started that education
the video
a month or two before they came in?
Yeah.
That's what we can do now. You can start to educate these people. So now when they come in, they already understand what it is you do, why you do it, how you do it. We would all agree that some of our favorite new patients are referrals.
Yeah.
When a referral comes in, you're leveraging that relationship, right? You don't know them, they don't know you, but you know their cousin or somebody they work with, whatever it is. We like to say, when you've been running these videos and we've established you, we actually call it our perfect patient tribe turbine. When you're running our play and we build that authority for you, Now, when they come in, they're better than a referral because they feel they already know you.
Yeah.
They know what you do, why you do it. I mean, they know, like, and trust. All that is already in place. You don't know them yet, but they see you and it's like almost starstruck. And it doesn't always even have to be the doctor. One of our offices, they've been with us for about 7 years. Their CA does 90% of their videos for their office.
Look at that.
Now, she may interview one of their associate doctors,
right?
But she's the one on all the videos. And she'll be scheduling these patients, and they're like, Amber, wait, are you the one on the videos? And they feel starstruck talking to the CA because she's the one on all the videos.
Right.
But when you're generating people that are coming in like that, that already have that, you've positioned yourself as that authority, they're much, much higher quality people. And there's things we can do on the back end to make sure we're targeting people that do have money, that do have the financial resources to be able to afford care and stuff like that as well.
I have a good question for you.
Okay.
Talk to me about a really tough client that you had. Like, man, you just couldn't figure the digital space. And then you finally, you know, broke through, and what it took from you, or what did you find out? Like, what lessons did you learn from that? Because I have, for example, I have a client. He's in LA.
Okay. Yep. Tough. Can be a tough market. Yeah.
Yeah. LA, Hawthorne area. And he's like, bro, I'm like, he's hurt. You know, he's spent all this money and he's actually, I'm just going to do it myself. And he's actually doing a pretty cool job himself with the videos. Tough market to go into, right? And then I have another guy in North Carolina. I have an office in North Carolina that I own also, that, you know, the digital game there has been really hard to decipher. So we got 5 minutes here. I just want to know, Billy, where have you struggled in the past, and how do you came through, and how can our clients, you know, really leverage you?
Yeah, sure. Great question. And we do see that, you know, I was speaking at an event one time in Dallas. There was about 60 to 70 chiropractors there. It was a smaller event. And one of my clients was there. Matter of fact, I didn't even know he was a client. He didn't know I was going to be there, but he came up to me. He's like, hey, I've been with you for 3 years. And I was like, oh, fantastic. Thank you so much. He says, but I got to tell you, and this was in December. So he said, you know, on our flight here, me and my office manager were going over our, you know, all of our numbers, and we were going over the numbers for Chiro Candy, and we've had a 5-to-1 ROI this year for everything between your fees and ad spend and all that. He said, so it's great. It's working really well. He says, but the first 2 or 3 months, it sucked. And I actually got excited because he was willing to stick it out and let us figure out what was going to work. And he's also in Southern California. And I said, What was it that made you stick it out? Because we've got tons of tools. We just have to figure out what's going to be the best tool in each market. And he said, you had a great reputation. I really like my account rep. And I was committed to just really running the play. And he said, every couple of weeks, we would tweak the audience. We would tweak the offer. We would, you know, I was doing the content. He said, about 2 to 3 months in, all of a sudden, it just
blew off again,
started working. And it was so consistent, and it's been so consistent for the past 2 or 3 years. And most people don't give it that first couple of months. But a lot of times, if we're doing some consistent videos, in a 2 to 3 month period, we can build a retargeting audience of 10 to 12,000 people that have been watching your videos. Well, what if you only focused on that 10 to 12,000 people?
Right. Like 1% of 10,000.
Yeah. Just focus on that over the next 20 years. You're good.
2% of those 10,000. How much is that? 200 new patients?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like focusing on the people that know, like, and trust you, and building that authority. And so that's what we found works really, really well. And sometimes it takes a couple of months for us to get that authority built. But look, most of our clients have been with us 4 or 5 years. We do have extremely low fees compared to a lot of other agencies. Don't get me wrong. I want to get as much money from you as I can, but let's spread it out over 4 or 5 years. Like, right. I'm totally okay with that. And that's what we want. We want it to work. We want it to be extremely affordable. We even have a program where we'll do your ads for free. We have some clients that haven't paid us in several years. We have a program where if you refer 3 people, you get your ads done for free. And so,
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Billy, awesome, man. Thank you. I will definitely, I have here on my to-do list from the team building immersion that we just had in Phoenix.
Yep.
Contact you. It's like contact Billy and Carol Candy. So I was waiting for this interview. I had the questions I wanted to know. So it's awesome. If people want to get a hold of you, I know that they're going to have a link here, but what will be next step? If a doctor wants to just check you out and start working with you, maybe the doctor already has an agency that they've been doing some work. Like, what will be the next step for that doctor?
If you go to go.chirocandy.com/10, we actually have a program right now where your first, 10 people schedule, you don't have to pay till after that. So it's not for everybody. Some people like it. Some people, they just prefer to go some other routes with us. We have several different options, but that kind of explains that program on how you do have the option to get started with us at no cost. But that would get you on the phone with one of our team members. All of our guys, like who do, the initial sales calls, if you will, they've all been with us 4 or 5 years. So they've run ads before. They can answer all your questions. We want it to work. We're not after your money. We're after your business. We really want to help you build that authority and increase the impact you have in your town. So we'd love to help any way we can.
Spanish speaking doctors. Do you have clients in Puerto Rico market, for example? I'm in Puerto Rico. So if we wanted to do and work with you, would you be able to work in a Spanish-speaking market?
Yes, we actually have several people on our team that speak Spanish. As a matter of fact, my daughter-in-law, her whole family is from El Salvador. And yes, so we've done that. I don't think we have anybody in Puerto Rico right now, but we have worked with just Spanish-speaking offices before, so not an issue.
Awesome. Beautiful. All right, so go.chirocandy.com/
The number 10, 10.
The number 10, 10. All right, I got it. Any last words? Man, that was awesome.
Thank you so much. We really, we just love what you guys are doing for the profession. Thanks. I love that every time we go to an event, like it's just bigger and bigger. And I just love the impact that you guys are having on the profession. So it's great. Glad to be a part.
Thanks for watching, everybody. This is Coach Dr. Sebastian for The Remarkable Practice, interviewing Billy Sticker from Carol Candy. Thank you, Billy, for your time. See you guys soon.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Remarkable CEO Podcast. Remember, what the world needs now is chiropractic, and what chiropractic needs now is more successful chiropractors. If you like this podcast, please subscribe, share with a friend, and leave us a review. And if you'd like to connect with us personally, direct message us on Facebook, LinkedIn, or Instagram. Now go and be remarkable.